for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, December the 30th, 2006. Cheryl Batts is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on the third hour.
Oh, let me repeat myself. Are you all filled up with the Holy Ghost, and have you been delivered already this week from something? Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes at our camp meetings, we can go and get delivered and get delivered and get delivered and get delivered. And you just say, Lord, give me some rest. Have I not reached that point yet? But sometimes God wants us to just know that He loves us. And, you know, I'm grateful, if no one else is, for the ministry of deliverance. I'm grateful for those that have stood firm, that when everybody else packed up their bags and decided that deliverance was such an awful ministry, such a nasty ministry, you know what I'm saying? That they packed up all their gear and decided that they would not minister deliverance anymore. I'm grateful that many have stood firm and decided that this truly is a ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it should be in the body of Christ. It should not be off to the side where I'm a deliverance worker and, you know, that's your period. Everybody should be a deliverance worker. And I'm grateful to God for allowing us to be able to come to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and other places throughout the nation to be able to receive the teaching, to receive the knowledge, and to allow the Holy Spirit to grant us the wisdom to see that no deliverance is the same. Every deliverance is different. And every demonic inhabitation is different in everybody. You're not going to be able to come up with a pattern. You're not going to be able to come up with a pattern because each of us is different and each of us has had a different experience. We come from different backgrounds. The demons are the same, but who the strong man is based on where you came from and what's going on in your life. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord with a word of prayer. Father, I just give you the praise and glory and honor, and I thank you for this opportunity to come before your people. I thank you for an opportunity, God, to stand before you and to be filled with your word and to empty out, Father God, the wisdom and the revelation knowledge that you have given me for this time and for this season. Before your people, I stand right now, Father God, and I decrease that you may increase in me. For I have nothing and I am nothing without you. I remind myself of that constantly, O God, because I consider it a privilege and an honor to be able to stand before your people. And I stand with a reverential fear, God, that anything that I say will come from you and not from me. I ask you, oh God, to bind the spirit of sleepiness, to bind the spirit of fatigue right now in Jesus' name. And I just loose upon the people an attentiveness, an open heart, an open mind to hear your word, your wisdom, oh God, to be stirred up within them, O God, that they may receive the word that you have given today. And God, I thank you, and I give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I was sitting and asking God, you know, what was the title? I don't do real well on titles. And all I could hear him saying was the third hour. The third hour. Now, I know the third hour, I was thinking, oh, it's 3 o'clock, the third hour, that's when I'm going to speak. Then I looked in the Bible, says the third hour is actually, you know, by Bible means 9 o'clock at night. So I said, well, I don't know if that's it or not. So I went to a scripture. So will you go with me to Matthew 20? And when you're there, if you don't mind, say amen. 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 You're there. Good. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version. For the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of an estate who went out in the morning, along with the dawn, to hire workmen for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour,
he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he also asked them to come in and to work. At the end of their work day, he went ahead and he paid them each one the same amount. And we understand that the story goes on to say, or the parable, I should say, goes on to say that someone that had started in the morning decided to confront the Lord of the field and the master about why he would give those that started in the morning the same as the ones that started late over in the evening. What I get from this is that when we all get to heaven, at the same time, we're going to reap the same rewards, have the same privileges, no matter when we got saved and entered the vineyard. See, if you get saved at the last minute in the 11th hour before you die, and if someone else has been preaching this word for 50 years or longer, and we all get there, you're going to get there and you're going to have as many rights and privileges there as the person that was ministering for 50 to 100 years. Why? Because it says in Matthew 20, the first verse, for the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a estate. Now, if you'll go with me and just kind of go with me a little bit, let's see what Romans 9 and 21, again, the Amplified Version. Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same mass lump one vessel for beauty and distinction and honorable use, and another for menial or ignoble and dishonorable use? When we were back in Matthew 20, that's Matthew 20, the 15th verse says, am I not permitted to do what I choose with what is mine? Or do you begrudge my being generous? Is your eye evil because I am good? Well, what is he saying? What is that saying to you? What is that saying to me about what God is saying about the kingdom? He's saying that as he is a righteous judge and the kingdom of heaven, and when we enter into the kingdom of heaven and he chooses to be generous and merciful to all those who are willing and obedient to the call to enter the vineyard of souls, that he has a right to do what he wants to do. That is what the kingdom of heaven is. The kingdom of heaven has an established order. And there is only one king. It is not a democratic source. There's nothing democratic about it. It's either his way or no way. It's his way or no way in the kingdom of heaven. So we have no right at all to say to him, well, I've been preaching these 25 or 30 years. Who is she to come in and he to come in and get all? And they just done did this and they done did that. That is not your call. The kingdom of heaven is based on God's righteousness and his judgment. And he is a righteous and he is a holy God. And he knows the hearts of the people that come into the vineyard. He knows the hearts of the people who get that 11th hour salvation recognition that God is God. Just like you got it 50 years ago and you served him all that time. You never backslid. You never broke, you know, rank. You never did anything. Just perfect all the way. Hello. If we so choose to believe that, amen. Let's go to Deuteronomy 15, the 9th verse. Beware lest there be a base thought in your minds and hearts, and you say, the 7th year, are we not going into 2007? That you say, the 7th year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cried to the Lord against you, and it be sin in you. So what is that saying? To enter the kingdom of heaven, we have to move into the season of God and take inventory. Know what is in your heart. Evil heart of unbelief, jealousy, envy, competition, dull of hearing and seeing in the spirit because you are afraid of change. Fear is the greatest opposition to our growth as the body of Christ. It is the unworthy gatekeeper of your soul, the holder of the key to your freedom to believe and have faith to take nations, to heal, to cast out demons, to accurately and righteously discern the heart and the intent of man. fear, being afraid to break rank with yourself and your clique and see things as God sees them. So beware that these thoughts that enter into your mind as we want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, the jealousy, the looking at others and comparing ourselves to them and wanting ourselves to be like this and wanting to be like somebody else. God is not in His kingdom going to judge you on that. If you want to enter into His kingdom, your greatest, greatest challenge is to check out yourself. Amen. Be aware what's in your heart. Don't get in competition with people. I've seen it happen so many times. Of course, not here. But I've seen it happen so many times where there's a strong competition between female ministers and male ministers. Everybody, you know, well, what are you preaching on? And, you know, and the next thing you know, everybody preaching on the same thing. But see, the anointing of God falls and rests upon the person that got it the first time, and everything else is just copycat. Don't fall into it. Don't fall into it. That is not a part of the kingdom of heaven. It is not a part of the kingdom of God. God has made us each one individually and accurately according to His specifications and according to His plan. So if you want to know about yourself, just do what I had to do today when I didn't have any makeup. Just get naked and unashamed and get before God and let Him talk to you about who you are. Because I don't want Him to talk to me about Jerry. I mean, unless He got a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge that I'm to give her. I want to know what can I do or what is standing in between me and Him and that relationship that I desire to have with Him so that I can enter into the kingdom of heaven here on earth and He can operate and work through me so that those that are looking at me understand that the kingdom of heaven is here on earth today in me and you. Because that's what Jesus came for. He is the King of Kings. He cannot be a king unless He has something to reign over. And you are the land. You represent the land. That's why land is very valuable. You're made out of dirt. Get a revelation. You are the land. You are that which the enemy seeks after. You are the one that the enemy would like to plant things into that are not of God so that you can grow crooked and look crazy. And then you misrepresent the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God and what it's all about. God is in love with us, and it is His desire to make us perfect. It is His desire to make us into His image so that wherever we go, that people look up on us. And as we see them looking up on us, we're so dead to ourselves that we begin through the wisdom of God and through the discernment of God to minister to them out of our spirit and not out of our flesh. You have to minister out of your spirit and not out of your flesh when you're speaking to people. Why? Because you want people to hear what God is saying and what God is doing and what God has to say about them. Proverbs 23, 6 and 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As one who reckons, he says to you, eat and drink. Yet his heart is not with you, but is grudging to cost. Again, the Amplified. Eat not the bread of him who has a heart grudging and envious eye, neither desire his dainty foods. So what is that saying? He's saying don't be fellowshipping with just everybody. Don't fellowship with just everybody that comes along. Know who you are fellowshipping with. Know that the people that you need to fellowship with are the people that are moving in the same direction that you are going. Let me see if I can make it a little clearer. Ain't nobody saying nothing. All right. I realize that there are times when we're going to fellowship with people who are not like us, who may not believe like us. But if we are operating out of our spirit, out of the Holy Ghost, out of where God lives within us through the Holy Spirit, and we are operating out of the kingdom of God, out of the kingdom of heaven, out of that place that God has placed inside of us, we can walk in with anybody and sit down and fellowship with them and hold firm to that we know. Because once that we allow that to be burst forth in us, then our thinking begins to change. And we lose those thinking earthly thoughts. And we begin to think thoughts that are kingdom thoughts. And we begin to see what God sees in people. And we stop seeing the drug addict. We stop seeing them as a drug addict. We begin to see them as a lost person. We begin to see them with the eyes of God. Because when you look at them with the discernment that comes from you walking in your spirit and not your flesh, you begin to discern on the level that Jesus discerned. And you are no longer judging them from your place, but you are loving them from His place. Because when He called you in, He did not judge you. He did not lay out a tit for a tat for everything that you had done wrong. When He called you in, He wooed you with such love and such mercy and such compassion that you found yourself so filled with love, it was impossible to not do what He asked you to do. And that is where He wants to take us. That's what Jesus came for. When Adam and Eve messed up, God knew He had to have someone that would come and would be perfect and would allow us to be able to get back to that kingdom place. Adam lived a long time. He had to be very smart. He named everything. Most of us can't hardly remember what happened last week.
Yesterday.
Because of the stress and the strains and the challenges of life, and because the body is constantly disintegrating, it is constantly falling away. So we have to remember that when Jesus came and He died upon the cross as a king. And He died for us so that we could be a part of the kingdom and that we could be like as kings upon this earth, reigning and ruling over this earth and over those things that God has given us to reign and rule over. And as we begin to do that, as we begin to understand the express purpose of Jesus dying on the cross and the ramifications of all of that, sometimes we forget just how much Jesus accomplished dying upon the cross. It was pretty big, everybody. It wasn't just a little thing. He had to bring the whole world, all of us, back into a place so that we can be with the Father, so that we can understand the Father, so that when the Father speaks to us in parables and He's way up here and we're way down here and we got to study a week and a half to understand the parable. Adam understood the parable right off. Moses and Enoch, they understood the parables because God has implanted in all of us that place, that wisdom, that revelation to understand. And we can go to school, we can become doctors, we can become lawyers, we can get all the education that we want to get and still not have common sense and still not be able to understand the Word of God. Why? Because it's a different kind of wisdom. It's a different kind of wisdom. Even as we have been reading this Word of God all of our lives, some of us 50 years, some of us 25 years, and we believe that we have an understanding of the parables in the Bible and what Jesus was saying and what it means, do you not know that I can go right behind you and read the same parable and come up with another meaning? Only God can do that. So who do you think you are when you go in and you get a revelation of a parable or a scripture and you lay it down as fact and don't give me an opportunity to get a revelation from the same one, but I got to get it my way because that's how I am. God is going to give you the revelation of the parables. He's going to give you everything that you need to have to overcome in the place that you are. And He is not going to give me a revelation of the same scripture in the same way that He's going to give it to Jerry, to Ronnie, to Doc, to anybody. He's going to give it to me my way. Amen. And when I get through talking, I'm going to tell you my way. Uh-huh. I'm going to tell you the way that God has given it to me. Because each of us are supposed to be able to exclaim the Word, express the Word, and preach the Word. And we can. But don't be thinking that the kingdom of heaven is made up of robots and we all got to teach and sing and play and be like the other person. He didn't call us to that. He's too big a God. He did not have to make one cookie cutter and make one person and everybody be just like that one person. Funny how we're just all different. Color, shape, size, ethnicity, we're all different. And where there are times when I will go into the Lord and I will begin to minister to people. I will begin to minister out of the call that's on my life, which is a prophetic call. And I might not give you scriptures, but I may speak to you what I hear God saying to me. And if you get it, if you write it down and go to the Word, it should line up with the Word. If it doesn't line up with the Word, then I missed it. And if I don't call out the scripture right then and there, go home. Check it for yourself. It probably adds up. I have to be who I am and minister to you the way that God gives me to minister to you. When I get caught up trying to read a whole bunch of scriptures and tell people a whole bunch of things, it just doesn't become me. I'd rather give you the scriptures in the beginning, tell you to go ahead and study, and then give you the revelatory wisdom that God has given me right here on the spot. So I will not get delivered and then go back to bondage trying to please somebody. I suggest that you do the same. Because the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is not made up of robots that do the same thing the same way all the time. It just doesn't work like that. Be prepared in Luke 12, 36 through 40. And be like men who are waiting for their master to return home from the marriage feast, so that when he returns from the wedding and comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are those servants whom the master finds awake, heard about that earlier, alert, and watching when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself and have them recline at the table and will come and serve them. 38, this is it. If he comes in the second watch before midnight or the third watch after midnight and finds them so, blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are those servants. But of this be assured, if the householder had known at what time the burglar was coming, he would have been awake and alert and watching and would not have permitted his house to be dug through and broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour and a moment when you do not anticipate it. So don't be asleep. Don't get frustrated. Don't get disgusted. Be prepared to enter the kingdom of heaven and into his presence and into and led by his spirit. Be found in anticipation of his arrival. Be awake and alert and watching, because we know not the hour. Be focused. Be steadfast. Not double-minded. Be contemplative, believing that he will come. Go through the test. Take the squeeze and the challenge. Take the lies and the doubts of people that say that you will not make it, that you got all the goods. Scream aloud and stand fast. When it gets hard and it gets heavy, if you can't say nothing else, who was it that was waiting to get in the pool? And he was trying to get healed. He's waiting and nobody was helping him. He said, Jesus! See, there's a breaker anointing in that name to me. When everything around me is messed up, when I'm not understanding what's going on, and I can feel the enemy coming to try to steal my mind, to steal that I believe in, and it's just like I'm like, Jesus! And there is an energy and there's a strength inside of me, and it wakes up everything that I believe. Because the enemy will sometimes try to make you believe that you don't believe. Amen. Oh, good, I'm not by myself. He'll try to get you to believe that you don't believe. I have sat in the car with the gospel music playing loud because I wanted to hear what the words of the music were saying. And as I was listening to the music and listening to the worship and listening to the praise, God would just fill the car. And I would begin to weep and I would begin to cry. And I say, I don't care what's going on. I don't care what it looks like. I know that you are King of Kings. I know that you are the Lord of Lords. I know that you are the Alpha and the Omega. I know that you are the beginning and the end. I know that you are Christ the Lord. I know that you are the Deliverer. I know that you are Emmanuel with me. I know that you are Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tescanil, Jehovah Shalom. I know that, God, and I don't care what it looks like, for I believe that you've called me into the kingdom of God. And I'm going to go where you tell me to go. And I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Amen. That resolve is what you've got to have. No matter what it looks like. For he is the King of kings. And he is the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 2. Acts 2. We're talking about the third hour. See, the third hour. We're talking about the third hour. Acts 2, 15 through 21. For these men are not drunk, as you imagine, for it is only the third hour of the day. But instead, this is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel. So as we enter into the third hour, you have to remember that right now, it seems to me we're in the third hour. But it's a beginning, not an end. See, now everybody is ministering on the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, because God has opened up the heavens and began to pour out upon us the revelation that was already there. How many times have I, even for today, I opened the Word and there are so many references to the kingdom of God. Where were they before? I mean, I know they were there, but you know what I'm saying? They weren't highlighted to me. So there is a timing and a season in God, and this is the timing and the season that God wants us to study and to understand what the kingdom of God is. And you can study it logos word, chapter by verse, but until it becomes a rhema word in your heart and you speak it from your soul, that God wants us to love each other. God wants us to be like the church in Acts. He wants us to be aware when we are in, somebody is in trouble, and be able to go to them and to pray for them. He wants us to be able to see and know in the spirit if we need to help our fellow brother or sister. Why should they have to call you on the telephone and say, hey, I need help over here. The kingdom of God, the violent taking it by force. And when you find yourself out there and you think that you're by yourself, that's when you really got to get violent and radical. Because if you don't, he'll take your goods. And y'all know what? I know I'm not by myself. We have worked too long and coughed in that bucket too many times and accepted too much stuff from too many people to give it up that easy. You know, he gonna have to kill me to get mine. And if he kill me, guess what? We win. He loses. I'm on my way. Hey. Either way, I'm excited. And we need to be excited about the kingdom of God and what he wants us to do. We need to go at it with everything that we have. We need to let all of our inhibitions and our insecurities down and begin to seek after God with all that we have. And stop being judgmental about how God is going to bless you and who God is going to bless you by. The priest of the house said, next year, at the end, when we come to this time again, everything is going to be different than it was this time. And I stand behind him 100% as one of the prophets in this house. And I tell you, so it is. And so it will be. And it'll be even more different than he thinks. And it's going to be more different than I think. Because when God releases information out of the kingdom, do you think by any way or means that we got enough brain power to receive it all in one time? We haven't got a revelation just that much. All we know is God is getting ready to do something. And he's doing it big. We don't know where it's going to come from. We don't know how it's going to come. But I've emptied out my refrigerator because I want all of mine to fill it up. I'm willing to let go of everything that I believe, everything that I have. Even the dreams, as I shared with the women. Even the dreams that he's given me. I am willing to let those go. Why? Is he not omnipotent and omnipresent God? That if I let a dream go because I think maybe I messed it up, or that maybe it was my dream and he never gave it to me in the first place, that if it was him, he'll give it back to me in a different way anyhow. He will not allow that he has placed inside of me to die. When he gives you something, you got it. And you know you can't shake it. Y'all know I'm not lying. You try all you want to get rid of something, to stop thinking a certain way. Oh, I'm just tired. This thing that's worn me down. But once you have bought into his will, and his will and his way is your will, and his your way have come together as one, ain't no divorce in this thing.
Amen.
We're going on. We're going on. And that's what the world needs to see. The world needs to see a stability in the body of Christ. They need to see us standing together, shoulder by shoulder, black and white and yellow and green, raising our hands toward the heavens, praising God for who he is, knowing that all sin is sin, all hurt is hurt, and all blood is red.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Yes.
Back to Joel, verse 16, but instead this is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out of my spirit. He said, I will pour out my spirit. He said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels. And your young men shall see visions, divinely granted appearances. And your old men shall dream, divinely suggested dreams. Yes, and on my manservants also, and on my maidservants in those days, I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels and predicting future events pertaining especially to God's kingdom. And I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and smoking vapor. Have we not seen some of these things happening already? Let's not go in the house and pull the covers up over our heads. Ain't that right, Doc? Because it's coming.
Amen.
It is here. We are in the midst of what God is doing, and he is changing things. And things are going to be looking very different. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the obvious day of the Lord comes. That great and notable and conspicuous renowned day. And it shall be that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, invoking, adoring, and worshiping the Lord Christ, shall be saved. So this is the third hour where God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh. So let's not be too hasty or too quick to judge when people do things a little bit differently. See, this is going to stretch your Bible reading time, because people are going to say things and do things. And as they say and do things, if you haven't spent as much time in the Word as you need to spend in the Word, then you're going to sit there and be unsure until you get home and open up the Word and read the Word and say, oh, that was what they were talking about. Or if your discernment has been dulled by the fellowship and the company that you keep of people who are unwilling to change. That's why you can tell when you sit in the presence and there's a pastor preaching, an apostle preaching, a teacher or a prophet. They all have a different anointing. How many of you know when an apostle stands up to speak, you got to stretch? Maybe so far out telling you the things of God, you're sitting there and you have to stretch your belief. You have to stretch what you understand in order to follow the apostle. You really do. But the pastor and the teacher will break it down. Yes, be sitting there and just eating. This is good. This is good. But when the apostle speaks, you got to stretch. And some don't believe that the apostles and the prophets are in existence today. Yes, they are. And I've got too much experience under my belt to buy into what you don't believe. I can love you and I'll eat chicken with you, but I ain't going to believe what I already know.
Amen.
I ain't changed. I gave up catfish because I love catfish.
All right.
But I gave up catfish. See, I was told about catfish. I was told what they feed catfish to catch them. I thought, I don't think I like catfish no more. There are some things you're going to do. There's some things you're going to give up. And that's good. Excellent. Because we will never be perfect. We'll never be perfect. Only He who died upon the cross to bring us into the revelation of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, who was King of kings and Lord of lords, was perfect. All we can do is expect that we will get to a place where we operate in a spirit of excellence. That's all we can do. There is no perfection. And when you find yourself controlling people and pushing people, trying to push them into the perfect place of what you see in your mind, I assure you that tribulation will come to you. Because that's witchcraft control. And you'll find yourself losing it. Because now you're messing in God's business. If God cannot reveal to you an entire parable at one time, how are you going to step into God's shoes and manipulate His hard-headed, stiff-necked, rebellious people? And make them do what you want them to do at the time that you want them to do it. Your leadership skills, your ability to be successful is your ability to hear God and move when God tells you to move and understand that the people that you are working with are definitely not perfect. And they ought to go stone left on you at any moment at any given time. So all of your hope, all of your trust should be in the King of kings and the Lord of lords and His ability to cause things to move. Because, as I told the lady, who knows that since we went to sleep last night, 100 years has not passed? Somebody tell me that. Anybody in here in charge of time, can you prove to me that 100 years did not pass between last night and this morning? We wouldn't even know. God just say, you know what, I'm just sick of them. I'm not going to destroy them and go my way. I'm just going to let them sleep a few extra hours because I'm tired. thanks for going along with me. Who knows? But the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, as we begin to understand what God wants us to know about the kingdom, read everything that you can, because truly we are in that place. Let's go to Matthew 4:17. Let me see. I wrote that down. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the temptation in the wilderness when Jesus went out and he spent the 40 days. It was there that he came back and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is when we know that Jesus wanted to us to have a further understanding right then and there about the kingdom of heaven. And that he was representing the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And as he began to live out his life during those last 3 years, everything that the kingdom of heaven is about began to be made manifest in him. It began to be made manifest everywhere that he went. So the kingdom of heaven is what it's all about. It's about us tapping into it. It's about us accepting it in our lives and knowing that if we're going to make it in, we have to do what the Word of God says do. We have to be willing and obedient. Amen. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And how are we going to do that? Matthew 6:33. What? Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In Mark 4:11. In Mark 4:11, it says, and this is the parable of the sower. So when you begin to read and study the word, he's constantly talking about the kingdom. 4:11, and he said to them, to you has been entrusted the mystery of the kingdom of God. That is, the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly. But for those outside of our circle, everything becomes a parable. So there is a mystery. But the mystery is not for us. As we enter more and more into the presence of God and go into the holiest of holies and have understanding of what God is speaking to us about the heavenlies, about the kingdom, about who He is and about who we are in the kingdom, what happens? The mysteries begin to fall away and the parables we begin to understand. In Colossians 4 and 5, who's got that? Y'all waiting for me to find it? Colossians 4 and 5. It says, oh, y'all forgot to turn off your cell phone. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. The Amplified says, behave yourselves wisely, living prudently and with discretion in your relationships with those of the outside world, the non-Christians, making the very most of the time and seizing or buying up the opportunity. So as we enter into the kingdom of God, there's wisdom. There's great wisdom. Wisdom on winning souls. Wisdom in business. Wisdom in running and operating our church, which is a business. It's the business of God. And if we think of it any less than that, we're wrong. God is about the business. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 12. So that you may bear yourselves becomingly and be correct and honorable and command the respect of the outside world, being dependent on nobody, self-supporting and having need of nothing. Woo! Right. Honesty.
That's it.
In all of our dealings.
That's it.
Not being afraid to face. If you make a mistake, you made a mistake.
That's it.
Say that.
That's it.
Accept that.
That's it.
Repent of that.
Come on.
Move on. That's what makes us different
all
from
right.
those that are in the world.
All right. All right.
Mark 4 and 26. Back to that. The parables about the kingdom, 4 and 26, and he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground. What is he saying? He scattered the seeds. Some died in the cracks of the cement. Some grew up and some flourished. So is the kingdom of God. Some of us are going to make it. Some of us are not. Some of us are going to flourish. Some of us are not. But so is the kingdom of God. You have a right. You have a right. You have a choice to make, a decision to make. He's not going to force you to make the decision. He's not going to force you to follow the word of God. He's not going to force you to follow who He is. You make that choice. And you just like that seed. Some of us are going to grow up. We're going to be like those beautiful yellow moms everybody's been talking about all during this conference that Jennifer got for Laura. And we're going to flourish. Others of us are not. And then some of us are going to be so rooted in tradition that we're not going to change. That every time somebody come by, we're going to look just like those flowers right there. We're going to be pretty, but we're going to look the same. Because they're going to be artificial. They're going to be traditional. Nothing's going to change. It's just going to be pretty. It's just going to sit there. Ain't going to do nothing. Ain't got no life. It's going to speak the word. Say everything right. But ain't going to take no chances.
Amen.
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 But the kingdom of God, the violent taking this by force. And if you're going to take it by force, you got to change.
All right,
man. Amen.
Yeah.
You got to change. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I assure you that I can pray, but I'm going to read this prayer, and I'm going to decree some things over your life. Your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done, Matthew 6 and 10. Let your kingdom advance and be established through preaching, teaching, and healing, Matthew 4 and 23. Let the gates of our lives and city be open to the King of glory to come in, Psalms 24 and 7. Lord, you reign. You are clothed with majesty and strength. Your throne is established of old. You are from everlasting, Psalm 93, 1 and 2. Lord, you are a great king above all gods, Psalm 9 and 5 and 3. Let the heathen hear that the Lord reigns. Psalm 96 and 10. Lord, you reign. Let the people tremble. Let the earth be moved. Psalm 99 and 1. Psalm 103 and 19. Lord, you have prepared your throne in the heavens and your kingdom rules over all. Psalm 103 and 22. Let men bless the Lord in all places of his dominion. Psalm 145 and 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Psalm 145 and 11. Let men speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Psalm 145 and 12. Let men know your mighty acts and the glorious majesty of your kingdom. Matthew 12 and 22. Let your kingdom come through deliverance. Let the gospel of the kingdom be preached in our region with signs and wonders following. Father, we receive the kingdom because it is your good pleasure to give it to us. Luke 12 and 32. Let the righteousness, peace, and joy of the kingdom be established in our lives. Romans 14 and 7. Let the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Revelations 11, 15. Daniel 7 and 22. Let the saints possess the kingdom. Haggai 2 and 22. Overthrow the thrones of wicked kingdoms. 2 Timothy 4 and 18. Preserve us unto our heavenly kingdom. Let the scepter of your kingdom be released. Hebrew 1 and 8. Matthew 6 and 33. We seek first the kingdom, your kingdom, God, and your righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. Psalm 72 and 8. Break in pieces and consume every demonic kingdom that resists your dominion. Daniel 7 and 27. Let all dominions serve and obey you, Lord God. Father, we thank you. You will keep us from all evil and you'll sanctify us through your word of truth. Let us be one with our brothers and sisters that the world might believe that we have been sent. God, our heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. Let us be counted worthy of our calling, God, of our calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of your goodness and the work of faith with power. Let your word have free course in our life, God. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Jesus. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened that we might know what is the hope of our calling and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe. Strengthen us with your might by your spirit in the inner man. Let Christ dwell in our heart by faith and let us be rooted and grounded in love. Let us comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height. Let us know the love of Christ which passes all understanding that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord, do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in each of us. Let utterance be given unto us that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Let our love abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Let us approve things that are excellent, that we might be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Let us know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Let us be filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding that we might walk worthy of you unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let us be strengthened with all might according to your glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Let us stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Let our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give us peace always by all means and be with us. Lord, we make supplication, intercession, and give thanks for all men and for leaders in our nation and in the church that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Lord, we receive multiple grace and peace through the apostolic anointing. God, we praise you, we glorify you, we give you glory and honor. We thank you, O God, that every single thing that would hinder us from understanding and moving into the kingdom of God would be bound in the name of Jesus. We thank you, O God, that you will place upon us the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, that we will understand how to use the shield of faith even more accurately in the days to come. That, Lord God, our loins would be girded about with truth. peace, that our feet would be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that God will not be afraid to take on the cloak of vengeance and go after your enemy until we have overtaken him, pursued and destroyed him, O God, that we'll have on the garment of praise, God, and that we'll praise and worship you at all times, in any place, and for any reason, just because you are God. God, we praise you and we thank you that our feet, Father God, that wherever we walk, we take back the ground. We take it back, God, and that we do it peaceably, decently, and in order, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we worship you. We adore you. There is none like you. You are all in all. You are King of kings and Lord of lords, and we thank you for being who you are. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that a spirit of deliverance would fall upon your people. Let them be delivered in their own individual way by your power and by your grace and by your mercy, O God. Let us not follow a formula for deliverance, but let us be delivered in our minds. Let us be delivered in our souls. Let us be delivered that our spirit man will rise up and super rule in our lives, O God, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. We bind spirits of mind control right now in the name of Jesus. We loose the angels of God to go in and cut off the tentacles of mind control so that we will have the mind of Christ. So God, we loose the angels to go in and we ask you to pull up the spirit of pride that operates in our hearts, oh God, right now in Jesus' name, so that we can get rid of the evil heart of unbelief, so that we can get rid of all doubt and unbelief out of our hearts, because pride has entered in and caused us to think that we're all that when we're not. So God, we bind that spirit of pride and we loose a spirit of humility right now in the name of Jesus, that we'll have the love of God in our hearts and the mind of Christ from which to operate, so that the kingdom of God can be made manifest in our lives in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we praise you. God, we give you glory and honor. We worship you, God. We bind and take authority over every spirit of fear, known and unknown and hidden. And we say, Holy Spirit, pull the covers off right now in the name of Jesus, that we may see where fear has lodged itself into our lives, into our heart, our mind, our will, and our emotions, and caused us not to be able to walk in the fullness of you and the fullness of our destiny in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Let the sword of the Lord move through the camp of the enemy of our hearts. Right now in Jesus' name, cutting asunder everything that is not like you, God. Move, God. Move by your spirit in the name of Jesus. 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 Ha! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that there is a refreshing. A refreshing that comes in knowing who you are. A refreshing that comes as we begin to walk in the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, that there is a peace that comes when we understand your word, that if we seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, that everything that we've been worried about, everything that has caused us to squirm, everything that has caused us to be distracted, everything that has caused us to get off center, will begin to line up with your word. Because you've said so, God. Let us have understanding of who we are in you, that we'll not be moved. We'll not be shaken in the days to come. That we'll stand firm and we'll be obedient to your word. God, we thank you that every religious spirit is bound in the name of Jesus. Every religious mindset is bound in the name of Jesus. And we loose a freedom and a liberty in Jesus Christ. Thank you for discernment, O God. The discernment that Jesus died on the cross for us to have, to be able to not just answer the questions of man, but to be able to answer the questions that are in his heart. Thank you, Lord. Pour on us, God. Pour on us, God. Let us feel the sweet presence of your Spirit as we continue to humble ourselves for the rest of these services, God. As we begin to come into total realization that you are an awesome God, not just in word, but just because you are God. Let us have a revelation of how big you are. Stir within us visions and dreams and revelations. Let us not leave this place the same. Cause us, O God, to seek your face as never before. For truly you are returning, and these are the last days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All spirits of stress and rejection and disappointment on your people now, O God, deliver. We bind and break you off the people of God now in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit and the Spirit of the living God is in the house. You cannot stay. You must go in Jesus' name. All the way out. Out of the soul. Out of their emotions. Now go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name go. Father, we thank you for this time in your presence. God, as we get ready to feed our earthly vessels, we ask you to bless the food and to sanctify it in Jesus' name. We ask you, O God, that as we leave this place, that we will not leave your presence, that you will overshadow us and cause us to be pregnant with the kingdom revelation and knowledge. Cause us, O God, in our mindsets to get a revelation like Mary when she said, so be it done unto me, be it done unto your people. The revelation that you are God. And that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that we need to repent and move into the things of God. For millions and thousands of people are depending on our obedience.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.